Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Another episode of KJV Cafe. So glad you're here. My name is Clark Covington. I'm your Bible teacher today. And we are going through Genesis 4. Man, we are making so much progress. And usually I'll dilly-dally and be like, I'm drinking coffee. Check out our podcast. But look, we got to cut to the chase today. Amen. Because we've got some information I want to cover that I wasn't able to get to in the last episode that will bless you. Amen. It shows the authority of the Word of God, shows the foolishness of man, all that good stuff. So what we're going to do, and we will get to Lamech a little bit here as well, but let's just say here, we'll start at verse, verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And this is out of Genesis 4. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. So what do we see here in Genesis 4? The first picture of a city. Who's it built by? It's built by Cain. Who's it named after? Cain's son, Enoch, presumably maybe his first son. Verse 18, and unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad Mahalalel, and Mahalalel begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. So here we see in verse 19 of Genesis 4, the first picture of polygamy. When did polygamy first take place in the Bible? In Genesis 4. By who? By Lamech, who would be like the great-great-great-grandson of Cain, something like that. So he's got two wives. And here we see that the name of one was Adah and the other was Zillah, and Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents. So here we see that Lamech is now having children who now have prescribed to them certain skills. And Jabal was the one that dwells, is the father of the one that dwells in tents, that such that have cattle. And if you understand back in Bible times, those that had cattle often were transient. They were in tents. They were not permanent structures. They were moving along with their cattle. Amen. Not that much different than even some of the great Bible characters like Abraham, right? And I think of Isaac, right? And you have these tents they set up. They have their cattle. They're moving right along and so forth. Okay. So even Jacob too, I think of him as he is deceived, which is a whole other thing we'll get to later in Genesis. But we've got Jabal. He was the father, the first of those that dwell in tents, of the ranchers. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of such that handle the harp and the organ. Amen. And so one is Jubal, J-A-B-A-L, and the other is Jubal, J-U-B-A-L. And I'll tell you what, if you don't look closely, you think you're saying the same name twice, but there's a different letter in there, okay? They got an A and a U. And so Jubal, let's see here, is the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ, so the musicians. So we see that music is entered here in Genesis 4, verse 21. Music, you would need instruments. Instruments like a harp and an organ would have pieces to them made out of various materials. They would be engineered. They'd probably have some kind of schematic on how to build them. They probably had to tune them to make a certain note. I mean, there's a lot of sophistication here at the very beginning of time as we know it. And here we have Zillah. She also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Okay? And so we see here that we have someone dealing with metal. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about what the world says about metal and how we can tie that in to what the Bible says, and we can kind of pick our side. Come right back. We'll be here. Don't come. Stay here. Stay here, and I'll come right back. Stay here, and I'll come right back. All right.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Okay, so I think this is an appropriate time to just say, look, here in Genesis 4, despite Cain being evil, despite the city being kind of bastions of sin, as we see, despite all of that narrative, we see a very important truth that man was sophisticated from birth. And why is this important? Well, if you go to a biblical timeline, if you look at, say, like the Answers in Genesis, if you go to their website, they have a Bible timeline, and they've devoted their whole ministry many decades to studying the book of Genesis, I believe rightly dividing. They're also the ones behind the Ark there in Kentucky that they built and the Creation Museum. Brother Ken Ham, his team has done a lot to further the cause of Christ as we believe the literal truth of a seven-day creation, well, six-day creation, seventh day of rest. We see that creation took place on around 4,000 B.C., and that would be roughly 4,000 years before our Lord was born on earth, right? And we see here the flood took place around 2348 B.C., and that's roughly 1,656 years later, which would make sense because we know Adam himself lived over 900 years, and some of his descendants lived a long time as well, Methuselah especially. So you have to kind of add all those genealogies up and their ages up to understand there was about 656 years between creation and the flood. But if we look at creation as around 4,000 BC, and you can follow this timeline, you know, you can look at, it's very interesting, from the flood in 2348 BC to the Tower of Babel in 2246, there was only roughly 100 years. So it took man 100 years from after God flooding the earth and Noah and his children repopulating it, it took man only 100 years to get so wicked they were trying to build a tower to heaven and they had to be scattered by the introduction of languages and all those things so that they wouldn't create such evil on earth. Only 100 years. And then really, Abraham comes along in 1996 BC, which is only 250 years later. And so it's very fascinating to go through this timeline and kind of subtract these dates so you understand what's happening when. But just for time's sake, for conversation's sake, we'll say creation 4,000 BC. We'll say that, okay? 4,004 BC. And here on the History Channel, history.com, we see about the Bronze Age. It says the Bronze Age marked the first time humans started to work with metal. So the History Channel, literally the domain is history.com on the web, says the Bronze Age marked the first time humans started to work with metal. Well, as I understand, the Bronze Age started at around 3500 BC. And so we see here that 500 years pass where under the creation timeline, man apparently is not working with tools of any kind, okay? And you know, that number in the scope of thousands of years, you could say, okay, maybe they just didn't find it, right? But then when you look and see, okay, well, what do the experts, quote unquote, say about what happened before the Bronze Age? They introduce something called the Stone Age. And they talk about a time, the Paleolithic time, and you probably know more about this than I do, but the Paleolithic time, starting 2.5 million years ago, up to 10,000 BC. Now that's just absolute insanity. Our Bible doesn't point to millions of years. It points to thousands of years. And so what you learn in public school, what you learn by quote experts and quote scientific, you know, gurus, what you learn by these folks is a false narrative that man evolved over millions of years. And you see the true narrative that man was born with intelligence. Adam was naming the animals, okay? Didn't say he was in some cave barking at people. But in order to come up with a way to back up this evolutionary theory, which is also nonsense, okay? Man hasn't evolved, they've devolved in my opinion, but that's another message. In order to back that up, what do you have to do? You have to come up with an idea like a runway, so to speak. And that's what modern scientists do. They come up with like a runway. They come up with a timeline. And what really is funny is if you look at the biblical timeline of 4,000 years, BC being creation, the Bronze Age being marked at around 3,500 BC is kind of close enough to really back up the biblical account that at around that time, right, Cain's, you know, his children were involved in this, not his children, but you know, his fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth generation, were involved in this. That would kind of back that up at the exact same time as the Bible points to. And so I'm not raising dispute with the Bronze Age timeline, so to speak, as much as I'm raising dispute with the idea of any kind of Stone Age and any kind of Stone Age pointing to millions of years, because we don't believe that. If you believe the Bible cover to cover, you don't believe it. And if you simply just take the data that's out there now, you take this creation science, there's a whole field of creation science, take that and compare it to modern science, you'll have similar findings where you'll say, hey, you know what? This is really interesting. You know, when the world says we found bronze is about when we found bronze, but the world is talking about a Stone Age that went back millions of years, and the Bible is showing us a very clear timeline of simply thousands of years, right? It was roughly 4,000 years from creation to Christ, and we've been living since after his death, amen, 2,000 some years, right? So therefore, again, by my country, rural, simple math, we're 6,000 to 7,000 years in here, somewhere in that range of the earth, 6,000 to 7,000 years of the earth, period. And what really backs that up, and we'll get to this when we get to the flood, is there's a ton of evidence of a global deluge, a global flood. When you look at all the layers on the rocks, you look at all the fossils, all these things were created very quickly through a massive flood. And we'll get to that at later on, but it's fascinating. Our church, we were meeting in Lincolnton. We were in this little building. We put a TV in there, and we would watch, especially like a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service sometimes after a prayer meeting, we would watch all of these historical accounts, these creation scientists, these documentaries, and it was just one after another discovery of showing how the flood occurred, what it looked like. It's fascinating. But that helps us to understand another key point of Genesis 4 is God's true account of creation. That, you know, God, the word of the Lord never returns void, okay? God's word is pure, it's living, and it's even winning debates today when you do the research, when you study to show yourself approved, when you're not ashamed of God's word, you do the research. Now, for time's sake, let me jump in here. Lamech had two wives, Adalah and Zillah. This is verse 23. Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt. And he says this, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Okay, so here we have evil Lamech in verse 23 and 24 saying that, hey, you know what? I killed somebody. I killed them, and I'm not even ashamed of it. I want that same protection that God put on Cain onto me, but I want 10 times as much. And so here we see man acting wicked, acting foolish, acting braggadocious about a horrific crime that he committed. He tells his wives, he says, look, listen, hearken under my speech. That means listen to me. I have slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt. So here Lamech killed somebody young. He killed somebody. And to his hurt, he says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Okay, again, I'm country math here. I don't know what 10 is. 10 times 7, 70? I think so. So Lamech wants 10x the protection from God, 10 times the protection from God. This polygamist, this wicked man from the wicked line of Cain, now he thinks he's something special. Now he thinks he's going to earn the protection of God because he's announced it to his wives. And we just see so much pride here. And we see this direct evil sin reoccurring from generation to generation. And what we're going to do in the next episode is we're going to take a deeper look at this individual. And we're taking a deeper look at the line of Cain and how wicked it is, and how truly it will be wiped out, because that is not how God's line is going to come from. Amen. It's not how it comes from. It comes from a different line. It comes from Seth. So tune in next time as we get deeper into God's word. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. God bless, and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. same time, same place.